do you have anything that you could let us know about what's happening with these laser pointers?
Well, first of all, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And secondly, I don't really feel that people are calling for an outright ban of laser pointers at this time, certainly not in Canada. Now, there are some school boards here that have banned laser pointers from the classroom, and the Canadian government has had some discussion with people in the industry about laser pointer safety issues, but by and large, I think it's more of a social issue than a safety issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people go to a movie to sit down and enjoy a movie. They don't want to see a bunch of dancing red spots on the screen.
Yes.
And I myself, as a laserist, spend a lot of time and effort creating and programming a show. And then I go to an event and the lights go out for me to do my show. And next thing, there's a bunch of red spots all over the screen, which spoils the intent of the artwork and the creative effort that I put into making the show.
Yes.
I should, of course, emphasize that I'm speaking for conditions in Canada, and I'm not sure what conditions may pertain in other countries. And to answer your question more directly, when laser pointers used to cost $100 or $150, they weren't quite as plentiful as now that they've gotten down to $8 or $9. And by the way, I think that creating holograms with a laser pointer is certainly a very useful application for them. And I'm excited to hear about it because helium neon lasers, while I as a laserist don't consider $150 to $300 expensive, does put holography out of the reach of a lot of people.
Yes.
But I think people need to learn social responsibility. People don't point high-power flashlights in people's faces. Kids are raised to learn that it's rude to point at people. And I think people need to understand that it's rude to point laser pointers at people, and that it can, under certain circumstances, be dangerous.
Are you aware of any legislation or government action in other countries? I believe I may have heard that in England they sort of wanted an outright ban on them altogether. Is that correct, or am I...
The latest information I heard there was that the UK government was concerned with banning laser pointers over a certain power.
I see.
And as far as I know, that ban has gone into effect, and that now laser pointers that are for sale to the general public are only available in very low power ranges.
Mm-hmm.
You only need a couple of milliwatts to make a red dot on the wall if you actually are using it for its intended purpose, and that is to point at something.
Yes.
However, as you're probably aware, there are laser pointers out there that are, some of them are even available up to 20 and 25 milliwatts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I foresee as a problem with those, and fortunately because they're very expensive, they're not common, is particularly the diode pump solid state frequency doubled ones, which produce 532 nanometers and are pulsed. Can be fairly dangerous because a pulsed laser produces entirely different kinds of effects from a continuous wave laser.
Mm.
Because with a pulse laser, while the average power may be low, each individual pulse packs a lot more power.
Now, I've noticed in the catalog since all this news hit about doing holograms with the laser pointers, I would see a laser pointer on one page for $49, and it says between 3 and 5 milliwatts. And then I'll turn the page and you'll see the individual diodes that are still just between 3 to 5 milliwatts, but yet they're $300 and $400. What am I missing? What's different between these diodes? Is there something special about the ones that are so expensive?
I'm not entirely certain without looking at the specific catalog pages, but I would hazard a guess that the laser pointers that are being mass-produced, first of all, as you know, mass production lowers the price of anything. So for the laser pointers that are being mass-produced in the millions, they're using the cheapest possible diodes, and typically they're not using any optics at all. So if you look at the beam, you'll find that it's elliptical and it doesn't have good power distribution and kind of fuzzy around the edges and so on. Quality laser diodes being sold in that price range typically have additional optics to them so as to circularize the beam and to clean up the energy profile and so on. So
mm-hmm.
you're obviously getting a much higher quality product for your money, even though the two may look fairly similar.
Yeah, this laser diode that I picked up, the laser pointer, I notice does have lenses inside of the diode assembly, and the beam profile is absolutely beautiful. I was able to actually put it through a spatial filter and get a beautiful spread over the plate holder and everything.
I think that we may find certain jurisdictions making rules and regulations. I understand that a city in New Jersey passed a regulation recently that you must be 18 in order to purchase a laser pointer.
I see.
Again, that's not going to keep them out of the hands of those who want to abuse them, just the same is true of alcohol.
Yes.
What is becoming the problem is concerts. There was an incident at a KISS concert recently where KISS were flashed with laser pointers, sports events and so on, where the things are a distraction, an annoyance, and a nuisance more than they are any kind of a safety hazard.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're shooting a laser pointer from the bleachers down onto the surface at a hockey game, it's going an awful long way and it's going to diverge and so on. But nonetheless, the bright flash could be distracting to an athlete at a critical time.
Yeah.
And so consequently, there is that kind of an issue more than there is the issue that it's going to burn a hole in the ice or damage someone's vision permanently.
Yeah.
And the same thing is happening in classrooms. Kids bring them to school. The teacher turns their back to write on the chalkboard, and next thing there's a whole bunch of red dots flying around. And that can be annoying and distracting because people are there to learn, not to play with laser pointers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when is an appropriate occasion to have these things out to play with them, other than in at home and at parties and so on. But, I don't foresee that they will become banned. And even so, if they are not for sale to the general public, they certainly would be for sale to people who had some sort of a legitimate need for them. In other words, high-power lasers are not banned. Anyone can go out and buy a 40-watt YAG laser, which can do very serious damage to your vision and set things on fire. But you don't hear about that happening because the things are so costly that only people who have a professional need for them will buy them. And if the mass market for laser pointers disappear, the price will go back up again, and there will still be people who will supply them, and you will still be able to get a hold of them. It's just cost you a lot more money.
Do you eventually see a 25 milliwatt diode going for under $100 someday?
Again, with the advent of mass production, the prices are falling. I remember in 1985 when I read the first catalog from Amoco at that stage that was touting their 5 milliwatt laser diode, but they wanted $4,500 for it, and now, as you've pointed out, you can buy a laser pointer for $8 US, which essentially contains the same technology.
Yeah.
So I think it's only a matter of time and also a matter of demand. Are there a lot of applications for higher power laser diodes that would drive the manufacturing cycle to mass produce them in greater quantities so that the price will drop?
Okay.
There are some very nice solid-state lasers that I saw when I was over at the International Laser Display Association meeting in Amsterdam last month, made by Laser Power. They now have red, green, and blue diode-pumped solid-state micro-YAG lasers available. These things are tiny, and they have one that almost fits in the palm of your hand and puts out 3 watts of 532 nanometer green light and plugs into an ordinary wall outlet to operate.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, oh, it's a beautiful toy. At this stage of the game, it's kind of costly, except for people who need them professionally.
Yeah.
But I think that technology will become cheaper in the future as well, and it's not going to be a long time before holographers will have fairly high-quality lasers of that nature available to them at reasonable prices. Certainly within the next decade.
Now that I have you on the show, you have an opportunity to tell the listeners a little bit about your website, and I'm going to include a link over to LaserFX as well. But while I have you on here, you might want to take a minute or two to explain to listeners what they would find when they go there.
LaserFX.com tries to be a centralized source of information for people who are interested in laser light shows and laser displays. We have an area geared to the general public with information about science projects and how laser shows work and so on, but the bulk of our content is located in what we call the backstage area, and it's primarily technical content for people who are using lasers. It has copies of standards, it has forums available, an online newsletter, technical documentation and so on, all designed to try and help people who are in the laser light show business with resources and information. And there's absolutely a huge links section. I think we have something like over 300 links, of course, including one to Hollowell. And that allows people who are interested in the subject to sort of go to a central point and then branch off from there to find more information about lasers.
This may actually bring more people into the laser display field as well, since the absolute beginner usually looks in a catalog and picks up a small helium neon laser and maybe a kit so that they can make their own little laser light shows just to start as a hobby.
Right.
And this will cut
another interesting
too.
Development that's taken place in the field is that lower cost, high quality Galvo scanners have now become available. There's a company in Germany called Nidiales that's making scanning systems capable of doing 18K points per second, and for the first 18 to 20 years that the industry existed, we weren't able to go over 12,000 points per second. But now these 18,000 point per second scanners are available with amplifiers and everything. All you need is a power supply for under $1,000.
Wow.
So it's becoming less costly all the time with the advent of the diode lasers and the small solid-state diode pump frequency doubled lasers and these low-cost scanners and low-cost computers. It used to be that just to set up a basic light show to amaze and amuse your friends in the basement could land up costing you $5,000 or $6,000. Well, that price is now down to around $2,500 and falling.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
So it is quite possible that there's certainly cross-pollination between the two fields, holography and laser light shows. But I think a lot of people who get into holography get into it out of more interest than, you know, what can we do to make some cool designs with the laser. I think a lot of people are trying to do creative work with holograms, and I've certainly seen some very creative and interesting ideas expressed in holograms.
Yeah. When you do your media releases and when the media calls you for your opinions on different things, including laser pointers, that maybe you can point out that we have a very positive thing that we can do with these instruments now.
Yes, I agree. I think it is very good that someone has found another worthwhile use for them. And, of course, thank you for inviting me on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And hopefully we'll see you in the spring when we have the LaserFX 99 conference at the end of May.
Okay, and listeners, mark that date down and keep checking the LaserFX.com website for that conference coming up in the spring. Thank you very much, L. Michael Roberts.
Thank you and good night.
Take care.
Bye.